Here we are continuing our study of our Lord's I Am statements that are recorded by the Apostle John, most of them in the Gospel of John. Turn to John 10, if you would. That's where we'll be today. Some of them we'll find in the book of Revelation as well. And with these I Am statements, as was mentioned in the prayer we just had, we're learning about Jesus. We're learning about what He is for our lives today. We're not looking at the I was statements. We're looking at the I am statements. This is what Jesus has for us, offers to us, wants to be for us today. So it's helping us to draw closer to Christ in learning a little more about Him. As we look at the Gospel of John, one thing we need to keep in mind, and we can lose sight of this as we're reading through, everything from John chapter 7 and verse 37 to John chapter 10 and verse 21 all happens on the same day. They're on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem in the temple. Jesus is doing some teaching there. Remember, we mentioned a couple weeks ago with the Feast of Tabernacles that in Jesus' day, it was the custom to light huge lights in the courtyard at night, and there was light that would be seen from all around Jerusalem, and it was there in that setting that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And then later in John chapter 8, when He was having a confrontation with the Jews, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they knew exactly what He was saying. They picked up stones to stone Him, to kill Him. And He left, He got out of that crowd. And as He was leaving with His apostles, they encountered a man who was born blind, John chapter 9. So chapter 8 just flows right into chapter 9. Jesus heals this man. It was the Sabbath day. Some took this man to the Pharisees and they began to question him. Much of chapter 9 is the Pharisees questioning this man. And that confrontation becomes so sharp that the Pharisees end up casting him out. They excommunicate this man who had been healed. Now, hang on to that. Keep that fact in mind. Jesus hears that they do that. He goes and He finds the man. Ask him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" "Well, who is He?" "You're looking at Him." In essence is what Jesus says. But there are some Pharisees who were there, and they hear this exchange, and they ask about themselves, and Jesus says, in essence, "You're still in your sin." They had mistreated this one that Jesus has healed, and they are on the outside looking in. That leads us into chapter 10. And Jesus presents a parable, if you will, or an allegory, a story that is going to address this very situation. Let's look here. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Then notice verse 6, Jesus used this illustration, "but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them." Now they understood the figure he was using. They understood about the sheepfold and the doorkeeper and the shepherds and the sheep following. They understood that because that was a very common practice. They didn't understand the application. They didn't understand what that had to do with what had just happened. Historians tell us that it was common in Israel for there to be community sheepfolds in which they were fortified enclosures, much like the one you see on the picture here. This is credited to Farrell Jenkins, one of Christie's former professors at Florida college. He's made several trips to the Holy Lands. This is a picture of a community sheepfold, just what Jesus is talking about here. They were usually walled with stone, open air. There was no roof over them, and there was one door. They were in town, and what would happen is the shepherds would bring the flocks into town at night, and they would leave them in these sheepfolds, and there was a doorkeeper there. The shepherds would drop the sheep off, and they would go spend the night in an inn or with somebody. They'd take a break from the sheep, and during the night, it was that doorkeeper's job, that gatekeeper's job, to keep the sheep in and to keep everything else out. In the morning, the shepherds would come to that sheepfold, and they would call out to their sheep. And the sheep would know the voice of their shepherd, and they would go to the shepherd, and the shepherd would take them out for the day. And even in modern days, there have been those from the West who have gone to this part of the country and seen shepherds do this. That shepherds can separate their own sheep from a group of several flocks that have come together because they hear their voice and they leave. So what Jesus says here, they understood the practice, they just didn't understand the application. And so Jesus gives another story, or he goes on to give another illustration. He makes some changes to it, and he inserts himself, the man who has just been healed, and the Pharisees into this next illustration. Now, the next one is going to introduce us to the next two I am statements. I am the door of the sheep, and I am the good shepherd. A lot of times these are put together and studied together, and we'll see why. But I think there's enough with just the door that I want to look at them separately. So when we come back, Lord willing, next week, and you know what I mean by Lord willing, I've already seen online where there are at least two congregations that aren't meeting again today because of inclement weather. And I don't mean here in this area, but a little further south where there's a lot of ice. So, Lord willing, next week, we'll look at the Good Shepherd, but we're going to be right here in the same chapter, in the same context. So try to hang on to some of these points that we're making here. But Jesus introduces the idea that He is the door, or the door of the sheep. Just exactly what does that mean? Well, let's look here at verses 7 through 10. Verses 7 through 10. Then Jesus said to them again, because remember, they don't understand. They're not understanding. All right, he's going to make it clear. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The scene, the setting changes here from an urban area to a rural area. Dotted all across the countryside of Palestine were these rural or country sheepfolds. In warmer weather, the shepherds would stay out in the fields and pastures for extended periods of time. These sheepfolds were usually made of rock. They were an enclosure, but the door was left off of it. There was no doorkeeper on duty. Again, this is out in the countryside. There's no doorkeeper there. When night fell, the shepherd would lead the sheep into this sheepfold. He would inspect all the animals as they came in to him. Once they were all inside, the shepherd would lay down to sleep in the doorway. The shepherd literally became the door. And so when Jesus says, "I am the door, I am the door of the sheep," they knew exactly what he was talking about. You're the one that lays down to keep the sheep in and to keep all the predators out. So that's what Jesus is saying here. That's what he means when he says, "I am the door of the sheep." So let's take a look here. Let's consider the spiritual significance of Jesus identifying himself as the door of the sheep. We did this with the bread of life. We did this with the light of the world. Well, what does that mean to us spiritually? Let's do that here with the door. For one thing, when I think about a door, I think about access, an entry point, a way to have access to something that is otherwise cut off from us. The figure of a door represents a within and without relationship. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 25 in the parable of the virgins, five of them were unprepared. They went to buy oil, and while they were gone, the wedding party came through and they all went into the feast and they shut the door. Then the five came and they knocked on that door wanting in. That door kept them out. They weren't granted access. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the text that the hymn we just sang was based on, we see Jesus there with the church in Laodicea. He is knocking on the door wanting in. He wants access to that church. Can you imagine Jesus being locked out of a church? But that was the case there in Laodicea. So a door grants access. We understand that. Those who enter through the door of the sheep, those who enter through Jesus Christ, have access to the blessings that only Jesus can provide. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14 gives a list of seven of those blessings. We're going to talk about some others as well. But I want to stay right here in the context. I want to look at three blessings. Three blessings that we have access to through Christ. First, Jesus says that they'll be saved. Those who enter, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Now, in the context here, that would be he is saved from the thieves and the robbers. They're saved from the threat that is on the outside, those who are seeking to do them harm. They're saved from what the Pharisees would do. What did the Pharisees do to this man who is now following Jesus? They cast him out. They threatened his standing before God. Jesus is going to save them from that. We're removed from that situation, and we understand, of course, the spiritual application is that we are saved from our sins. Luke 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We have salvation through Christ. There is no other avenue for salvation. No other name given among men by which we must be saved, Peter declares in Acts chapter 4 and at verse 12. Also, there's access to good pasture. Again, if we're in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and he will go in and out and find pasture. Sheep find what they need most in the pasture. They find their food. We've already seen that Jesus provides our spiritual nourishment when we looked at him being the bread of life. So we won't belabor this point here any further. But this is what he provides for us. And then in verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So what does Jesus give us entry into or access to? Life, an abundant life. The thieves come to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus gives life and he gives abundant life. Let's pause right here for just a moment. The false teachers who promote the health and wealth gospel, people like Joel Osteen, they love this verse. I hear them talk about the abundant life all the time. I say all the time. I rarely, if ever, listen to these people. And I'd highly recommend you rarely, if ever, listen to these people. But they're always on this verse, the abundant life, the abundant life. What do they mean by that? They would have people to believe that what Jesus intends for all believers to have is great health and a bank account that is busting at the seams. And if you have strong faith, you and all your loved ones are going to be in great health physically and financially. And of course, be sure to send in that contribution. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about spiritual blessings that are found. It's an abundant life, not eternal life, but abundant life here, abundant life now. What would that consist of? Well, Jesus gives us access to, I've got a very short list here, a forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, the avenue of prayer. He is our intercessor, our high priest, the peace that passes understanding. He gives us His Word to guide us. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, Romans 8:26. He gives us His people to comfort and encourage us. He gives us victory over this world. He gives us a living hope of an eternal home with Him in heaven. And that's just getting started. That is the abundant life. Not great health and financial success. It's the abundance of these spiritual blessings that are only found in Christ. You and I have access to that, but only through Christ. Now put this again in the setting. Going back into chapter 9, Jesus is there on the temple grounds. The Pharisees are there. They've just cast out this man that Jesus healed. That man is there as well. There's no doubt that some of the ruling class of Israel, that would have been the Sadducees, the high priest was a Sadducee, the chief priests were Sadducees, and it was also the Pharisees. Not all of them, we know there were good men like Nicodemus. But no doubt, some of the ruling class of Israel saw themselves as the gatekeepers of God's sheepfold. By their authority, they determined who was in and who was cast out. They've just cast this man out. They just threw him out. The Pharisees excommunicated this man that Jesus had healed because he refused to listen to their voice. You can read of that in chapter 9. They're going at him again and again and again. And he is standing firm, believing in Jesus. He refused to listen to the voice of a stranger. He's listening to the voice of his shepherd. And so they cast him out. And what Jesus is doing, Jesus hears what's happened. He goes to this man and he brings him in. He brings him in. Jesus gives us access to salvation, to spiritual nourishment, to the abundant life. One more thing I want to look at here. It's clear in the English text, and I understand that it's also obviously clear in the Greek text, that Jesus is singling Himself out as the door. Jesus doesn't say, I'm one of several different doors, and you just pick the one that you like the best. And if you like Moses, well, that's okay. And if you like Muhammad, that's okay. And if you like Joseph Smith, that's okay. Or whoever else offers eternal life. Well, you just go that route. And those of you who want to, you can go my route. No. Jesus says, I am the way. He is the only door to gain access to salvation and abundant life. We have to enter through Jesus by meeting the conditions that He sets forth in His gospel. There is no other entrance. In a few weeks, we're going to look at another I am statement in John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the door. What does that tell us about Jesus? Well, that tells us, for one thing, He is the avenue of access to something. He is the only way that we access salvation, spiritual nourishment, and the abundant life. But there's something else. If we look at this figure that's being used, the sheepfold and the door, Jesus obviously is our source of protection. An enclosed sheepfold was a figure of safety and security and salvation. During the day, the shepherd could clearly see, and he was alert to the dangers that would threaten the flock. But at night, the sheep were in the sheepfold. And think about this. Even though he was asleep, the shepherd was still on duty because he put himself in the breach between the flock and anything that could harm it. Nothing got out and nothing got in except through him. That's a picture of safety and security and peace. The dangers are still there. The dangers still exist. They're still there. But inside that sheepfold, the sheep are safe. They're free from danger. They're free from worry. And they can enjoy peace. Now, Jesus speaks here of thieves and robbers and strangers. It's not till we get further on next week that he's going to introduce wolves. So far, he's just talking about people. People who would try to steal the sheep away and take the sheep away. He says that they're trying to gain access to his sheep so that they could steal them and kill them and destroy them. Jesus protects his sheep. I want to take us back to chapter 9, verses 35 and 36. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, notice that. Jesus stepped away from the situation. He let it unfold, but when he hears what's happened to this sheep, he finds him. He goes to him, and he finds him, and he reassures him. Jesus is that protector. He protects his sheep. We know that there are people today who seek to take followers away from Christ. I mentioned those who teach the false doctrine of the health and wealth gospel. There are those who teach the false doctrine of atheism and naturalistic evolution. Those who preach the doctrines of modernism. All these different ideas that we are hit with, that our young people are hit with. What are these? These are thieves and these are robbers who are trying to take sheep out of the Lord's fold. Jesus will protect if we will abide in Him. But these don't just come from out there. These thieves and these robbers and these dangers, they also arise from within the church. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Here, the Apostle Paul is speaking with the elders of the church in Ephesus. Acts chapter 20. He has labored with them. He knows them. He knows the church very well. And he gives them, specifically, gives the elders some warning. Verses 29 and 30. We're in Acts 20, verses 29 and 30. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So notice, you elders, you need to be on the alert because there are going to be some who will come in who will wreak havoc on the flock. But then notice verse 30. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Can you imagine that? An elder in a local church drawing people away after himself. Yet the Scriptures warn of that. Jesus wants to protect us. He wants to protect us from that. But we have to abide within Him. We have to remain in Christ. We have to enter the sheepfold through the door. And we have to remain in the sheepfold. And if we do, then we are spiritually protected from these dangers. Going back to John chapter 10, I want to look at verses 29 and 30. Now keep in mind, this is a couple of months later, but we're still talking about sheep. John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. There is that security. There is that protection. It doesn't say we can't leave. It doesn't say we can't depart ourselves from the Father's hand. But no one is going to snatch our salvation away from us if we remain within the sheepfold. if we enter through Christ and stay in Christ. Jesus provides something important to us as the door of the sheep. And I think it's worth looking at alone instead of lumping it together with the shepherd. When Jesus says, "I am the door, I am the door of the sheep," He's telling us that He alone grants access to every spiritual blessing and that He is present to protect us from every spiritual danger. As we draw this study to a close, I want to remind you, I want to paint one more time in your mind this picture, and I hope that you'll take it with you. What a blessing it is to have Jesus laying down at the opening of the sheepfold, personally putting Himself in between us and everything that seeks to destroy our souls. What a blessing that Jesus is the door of the sheep. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful that we can be Your sheep and that Your Son was sent to be the door of the sheepfold and the good shepherd. Help us to understand better the blessings that Your Son died to give us. Help us to enjoy these blessings, to rejoice in them, and to share these blessings with others. Bless us as we study and draw closer to You through Your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.